Okay. Defensive line. Let's just start with defensive line. We can kind of lump all of that together. I know we got defensive end, outside backer types, edge player types, defensive tackle, but just for purposes of kind of where we are, we can kind of lump them all together. I think it's okay to do that. And just go through it. So defensive line, I'll start on this just because I did spend a little bit more time watching these guys and watching their combine back. If you're talking about the interior guys, obviously Braden Fist from Florida State, you know, the numbers that he put up, testing numbers, very, very impressive. You see that he is one of those first step, one gap penetrating types on film. And then the testing sort of backed that up, you know, in terms of his explosiveness. So that was one guy for me. Byron Murphy from Texas, another guy, same type of deal. You know, you watch his tape and you see the quickness, you see the explosiveness, and then you see him go out there and test, and you're like, yep, that's also what I saw. So that always makes you feel good, right? When things kind of line up that way. Let's see, who else did I have on my list? Mekhi Wingo from LSU, Chris Jenkins from Michigan, and then Dwayne Carter from Duke, who I'd seen a little bit of, I think, last year, because I heard some good stuff about him, but I need to go back and watch. But just in terms of interior guys who I thought tested well and looked good in the on-field drills, those were some of the interior guys for me. Now, I got a whole bunch of other names too. I mean, I could go on and on. Ruka, Ro, Clemson, and his teammate Tyler Davis, Leonard Taylor III from Miami. The people that I tried to kind of tier it, so those top guys I talked about were the guys that I felt like really, really kind of showed out in terms of their workout. And then that next group of guys, you know, solid workout, solid testing numbers for sure. But, you know, just maybe for me, just in terms of viewing, just that one little notch down from those top guys. And then some other guys, it was just like, okay, well, that's just like rare because of, you know, there's something about that was rare. So Devondre Sweat to be 366. And get around like the way that guy was getting around, you know, you just gotta recognize that, because you don't see that often at all. So credit to the big man, you know, from doing his thing, because I know he didn't weigh in at the Senior Bowl, and people were like, well, you know, we knew he was big, but what could he be at if he don't even want to weigh in at the Senior Bowl? So I don't know what he was at around that time, but he came in at 366, I think. At the combine. So good for the big man, you know, to get that weight and then kind of move around the way that he did at that size. So those are the guys for me on the interior. I think it might just be me and you right now. Chris might have to tap out and maybe he'll tap back in.
He said he had to take a call. So yeah.
Okay. Anybody else for you?
Chris Jenkins is the one for me. You know, I still got to really dig in and watch a lot of these guys, but just the stark contrast, like, you remember what his dad was.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, this is like, you know, just different, but like his disposition, the way he goes about things, it is similar to his dad, and you can tell the influence that he's had on his game. But then you see him run 4.91. You see a good 10-yard split for him, you know, 29 bench reps, you know, but he has that two-gapping ability that you can see and that upside there. So it just seeing just such a stark contrast between his game and his dad's game to me is just really, really intriguing. So he's a guy I want to like really dig further into and just see what the complete upside for him is as a guy that can get upfield and try to make some plays. But, you know, outside of that, just, you know, just of course Fisk, you know, what he was able, the show he was able to put on, you know, it makes you take notice, and, you know, just the overall athleticism of the group. You know, still a group that I'm going to have to like really sit down and dig into, but just the Chris Jenkins, that the contrast between him and his dad, and just some of the tools that he'll bring to the table while still having some of the savvy and some of the ruggedness to his game as well, is just really, really intriguing for me.
Anytime your nickname is the Mutant, that's definitely something that you want to go look at and say, why are they calling this dude the Mutant? You got to be something freaky. And he tested that way. He tested that way, which was anticipated. Dane had kind of talked about him a lot, saying that, you know, the strength and conditioning coaches at Michigan talked about how freaky he was in the weight room. So that was anticipated. Chris, we were just talking about interior D-line guys. I rattled off a bunch of names. People just can be like, he just listed names. But I actually did watch these guys. So anybody that you want to hit on?
Yeah, I'll talk about my favorite one, Byron Murphy. I thought he was head and shoulders the best interior guy coming into the combine. And I think his testing just kind of like separated him from those other dudes that were being talked about. You know, he came in and, you know, let me pull up what he ran. I know it was something crazy. 4.87 he ran. What's his name? Darunya Wilson. That's his kind of numbers. Remember the wide receiver?
Oh, yeah. Darunya.
those are his kind of numbers with a 1.69 split.
I know. So, that's moving.
You know, and that, you know, there's a difference between combine testing and on the field testing, and sometimes those things just merge together. And this is one of those instances where you see it merge together, because you see that on tape. You see the strength, you see the athleticism, the ability to take a game over you. You can see that with him. And you know, he's another guy who I was like, hey, you know, if he's there at 30, I might be tempted. You know, I know there are needs, but I think this dude, he can be one of those ones where we're talking about him, you know, in the upper echelon of guys like a Christian Wilkins type, like one of those kind of dudes. So, you know, he's someone that I liked a lot. I know Kerry was just talking about Chris Jenkins, and you know, he's another one of those guys who, if he's there in the second round, I might have to sniff around that, because it's not a need, but you always need interior pass rushers.
Yeah, you know, hey, make a string stronger. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Right. Like, just because it's a knee doesn't mean like, oh yeah, you don't have to take that. Like, no, like, make it stronger. You always need interior pass rushers. Always. Mm-hmm. You know, just look at the Eagles. You know, that's how they built their defenses, is just having that rotation of guys. Look at the 49ers. They have rotation upon rotations of guys. Yeah. And you need that. And a dude like Chris Jenkins, who I don't even think we saw the best of him at Michigan. I think the best is still yet to come from him. I think he's a guy that he would be a steal for a team in the later second if he's there.
Yeah, think about either of those guys in a group with Justin Madubuike and Travis Jones and Broderick Washington and Michael Pierce. I mean, it's – ooh, you can roll some dudes through there on your defensive line, and you're going to give interior offensive linemen problems, big time problems with that group of cats. Okay, so anybody else y'all want to talk interior, or we can kind of go out to the D-line slash edge type dudes? Because that's where I got Darius Robinson. I know you want to talk about him for sure, Chris, but I got him kind of in that. Even though I'm starting to hear more people talk about, okay, well, maybe, you know, he'll play inside. I mean, he can do that. But the way that these people were talking about it was like, okay, that's going to be his home. You're going to live inside. I don't know if you want to do that, because I think he can be on the end too. But
like I wasn't disappointed with his combine. Like, to me, he's a Pernell McPhee type.
Yeah, like, and we know Pernell did not test well.
Yeah, like
he played like a mother.
This is a power guy who relies on burst and quickness. You know, this is not a bendy dude who, you know, he's gonna, you know, turn that corner and be at that 45 degree angle. That's not him. You know, that's not him at all. This is a dude who's gonna be able to be moved all around. I mean, damn it, last year, not 2023, the season before that, he was playing defensive tackle for this team. like legit defensive tackle. Not like, oh, I'm just gonna, we're gonna move him inside on pass rushing down. Like, he was legit their defensive tackle. And, you know, this was his first year being moved around, and he flourished in it. And I think whoever drafts him, they need to have that in mind, that this is a dude that you want to move around. He's in that mold of a Pernell McPhee, where you move him, you know, first down, first, second down, he'd be that guy on the edge who can set the edge for you. You know, bring that physicality. Then on pass rushing down, third down, bump him inside, because he's going to have the quickness mismatch against a guard, but he's also going to have the weight and the mass and the physicality to be able to, you know, bring it as far as rushing in the interior. And, you know, this is a guy, he can do multiple things for you across a defensive line. So his testing didn't really bother me at all.
No, I mean, he still had an elite RAS. He's 9.64. Now, he had him in a DT group, and that's probably why. But 6'5", 285, I mean, I think you were the first, certainly the first in Ravens Twitter, I mean, just one of the first people out there in general, who talked about how good of a fit he would be for the Ravens. Because that is, you talked about Pernell. I mean, they've had so many guys like that who can line up at end, who can kick down inside. In passing situations, power guys first, right? That's their calling card, is power. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, just violent hands, because that's the other thing you see with him. He's a violent dude. he just fits. You called it. And once you put me on him and I watched a little bit, I was like, oh, yeah, this is no brainer. I mean, this mm-hmm. is this is what their guys look like. You know, we've seen them have a number of these guys, and he fits it. So, yeah, I didn't have any problem with the way that he tested and the way that he worked out. I was like, nah. So he's on my list. Who else did I have? Okay, this is a long one, so I got to separate this one out between kind of like the DN type guys and then the edge type guys. So I had him in kind of that DN sort of, you know, hybrid, play outside, play inside. Marshawn Nealon was in that group for me too, because he tested well. Mm-hmm. I thought and quitted itself pretty well out there. Most of the other guys I think I have on this list are probably like true edge guys, except for Miles Cole. I guess Miles Cole from, I think he was Texas Tech. I had him kind of in that DN category too, because I want to say, what was he, like 270 something? He was he was bigger than I thought. And then I saw, you know, the way that he was moving around, and I forget.
278.
Yeah. I was like, okay, that is a big dude moving pretty well out there. So I had him on that sort of DN list too, in terms of somebody who caught my eye just in testing and then what he looked like in the workout. So I'll stop there with that. And then we can do the edges. Any of those DN type guys for you that jumped out, Chris?
Yeah, I was actually going to say someone that you mentioned, Marshawn Nealon.
Yeah.
He's another guy who was moved around a ton. And, you know, I was another thing, you know, first and foremost, I was surprised he was black. I thought he was a white dude, to be honest.
Marshawn?
I don't know, man. I
thought Marshawn was white.
I don't know why, man. I saw a picture of him that the Senior Bowl released as, you know, one of the guys that they're watching, and he had his helmet on, and I was like, oh, that's a white dude. Like, he just looked like a white dude. So when I saw him at the Senior Bowl, I was like, oh, snap, that's not a white dude.
they tried to madden him, huh? So, you know, yeah, they're mixing up the pictures on that. put the wrong pitch on it.
But I was surprised. I mean, he tested really well, because for me, like, I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to be on the edge. I think he's going to be someone who you want to have him on the inside, similar to like a the Marvin Leal. Like, I think there was similar usage there with him, where, you know, he lined up a lot on the outside, but I think in the pros, you kind of want to get him on the inside against those slower guards, and he's able to use that quickness, but he also has that base of strength, you know, that he doesn't rely on just quickness. Like I think Leal did, he relies on strength, but he has the quickness to match with that. And I thought he tested really well. I mean, I did not see him, you know, being able to test as well as he did, because when you see him on tape, like he just seems like a bigger dude on tape. And you don't really see that athleticism displayed a lot on there. Not to say that he looks like a slouch or anything like that, but I was really surprised. And I think he made himself some money with being able to put up those type of numbers, because teams, you know, they were able to game plan against him, because, I mean, Western Michigan, you know, I know Fisk, he was a guy who was there last year.
Yeah.
He left. So now it's just all you got to worry about is Marshawn now. And I think they did a good job of constantly moving him around so teams can't just key in on where he is and try to stop him. So I think in an NFL team where he's not going to be the vocal point of an offense and where teams are trying to take him out of the game, I think that could free him up a little bit more and really just put him in advantageous situations where he wasn't really able to find himself in at Western Michigan, because he was the guy that the offensive had their eyes on.
He's another one of those guys to me that sort of that Ravens body type. If you think about Za'Darius, if you think about Judon, you know, those guys you might think about having a little bit more pass rush juice. But like you said, Nealon ain't a slouch as a pass rusher, but that similar type of body type, when you get into that 260, 270 range, you know, 6'3", 6'4", it might be a little bit different now with McDonald. And then now with Zach Orr, who I imagine is going to, you know, do some similar things, put his own stamp on it, of course, but do some similar things. That was more kind of those 3-4 in, like a 3-4 base in, right? They wanted like these power dudes on the edge. Yeah. They might be looking for, you know, a little bit more sleek in your Adafe Oways and what I'm blanking on his name.
Ojabo.
Ojabo. Mm-hmm. Might be looking to get a little sleeker out there, but these would be the guys who could kind of line up, maybe head up on a tackle or inside shoulder or maybe a little bit on the outside shoulder, just like 1 foot over your inside foot on his outside foot. Don't get too wide, because that space ain't really your deal. But you know, he could be one of those types of dudes. Kerry, do you have any of these guys for you, or you ready to jump into the edges? Because the edges got some dudes on the edge.
Yeah, just to kind of piggyback off both of you guys, as far as Robinson, like I'm looking at the numbers here, the 173 10-yard split, you know, it's slower than the other guys, but it's not alarming. And then we're talking about a guy that's like 30, 40 pounds heavier than a lot of these dudes that are putting up the 154s and all of that. But then I look at the vert, 35-inch vert. Like, that's an explosion test. Like, and with a guy with hammer hands like he has, you get that initial jolt, you get that explosion. You know, he's a guy that can make things happen. Like, he, you know, if he's one of those guys that are going to sneak through the cracks, because – one thing that people aren't factoring in, and I don't know if it's going to benefit, how much it's going to benefit, but with Belichick out of the way, and you know his taste has been very similar to taste of the Ravens, with him out of the way and the Patriots have come out and said that their whole scouting system has changed as far as how they're looking at players, Ravens going to have a little bit more to themselves as far as some of these player types that they like. So, you know, this could be a guy that kind of falls under the radar, you know, for the Ravens to kind of pounce on, you know, because there's less people that are, you know, enamored by this, you know, this body type and this player type. So just something to keep an eye on, a little small thing.
Yeah, because I think Elliot Wolf.
Elliot Wolf, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's Green Bay, so we know that's that height, weight, speed.
Yeah.
That's what they do. So, yeah, as opposed to that, you know, we got this really specific niche guy. We don't care how he does. We don't care what nobody else think about him. We got a real specific role we want him to do. And so we're going to take him wherever we want to take him. You know what I mean? We're going to take a guard in the first round. It was the dude that they took a couple of years ago. I can't remember who he was. He did not
Oh yeah.
Look the type, but they took him early. I think like end of the first round or
something. Yeah.
Like that. But that was their thing, you know, for a long time. Like you hit on, they didn't care what anybody else thought. They had like specific roles that they wanted people to fill in their defense or on offense, I guess, too. And they just took those guys. But yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a change up now. Okay, edge guys. So to me, you know, look, there's some guys, it was just obvious. Obviously, Dallas Turner put on a freak show in terms of his testing. So he was a guy that I had at the top of my list. Latu just looks smooth, under control. You know, that's one of the things I had, one of the notes I had down for his workout, just kind of, you know, matched up what you saw on tape, a technician, you know, somebody who you just felt like was going to come out there and have control of his body and, you know, look like he knew exactly what he was doing. Of course, the biggest thing with him was the medicals. I don't know. Is this, he's got some kind of neck thing or has had some kind of neck injury or something like that. But I think they said that's the one thing that you know, teams could be really concerned with him because, you know, anytime you're talking about the neck, that's very serious.
He was forced to retire.
Well, was he?
Just similar to
Jalen Phillips.
Jalen Phillips. And what's funny is it was his old school that told him that.
Okay. Very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar. Because, right, Phillips went down to Miami because UCLA had told him, we think you need to retire. The doctors at UCLA. Okay. Yeah. Very, very similar. All right. So Turner, Latu, who else am I? Chop Robinson. He Penn State dude. Not to bring this back up again, Kerry, but he tested the way that you expect Penn State dudes to test. Good for Chop. I had this. I don't. I guess I had their names next to each other because they're both Robinson. I might have been doing alphabetical. We already talked about Darius, but the thing I wanted to mention with him was they had this note during the coverage where they say he met with 18 teams. They thought that was like some kind of record or something for like the number of people that one player met with at the combine, not the 30 visits, because we know, you know, that you can get a bunch of those after the combine, but at the combine, I think they said he met with 18 different teams, and you know, they all talked about his leadership, and apparently he said he was a huge Lions fan growing up. I could see him playing for Dan Campbell. I got 100%.
His brother tweeted me the other day, well, not directly at me, but somebody who was trying to shit on Darius, not shit on him, but just like not really speak highly of him. And his brother took notice of it and was like, nah, like my brother's that dude. So shout out to the Darius brother.
Absolutely. Shout out. Yeah, come on now. It's not that you should never do that anyway, but any at any point. But you know, these dudes, you know, they pursuing a dream right now, man. Come on. Show some positivity. So I talked about Latu. Talked about Turner, talked about Chop, Jared Verse. He's on my list too, as well, because I think he just consistent. Same thing that you saw at Florida State. You know, I think you saw, you know, in terms of his testing and the way that he moved during the workouts. So again, he's in that category for me of guys who just have check boxes, just like, you know what you're getting with this dude. So he was on there for me. Those are like the top dudes that I had on the edge. A couple other dudes was Muhammad Kamara. I think Colorado State dude. He kind of tested really, really well, and I like the way that he moved around. Jalix Hunt, just kind of an interesting dude because I think he played safety, and now he's moved to like edge. So you don't see that transition a whole lot. Who was that guy? There was one guy. Might have been last year or 2 years ago who I think did. Or maybe he was wide receiver. And he moved to edge, something like that. I can't remember who that guy was, but I know we talked about him a little bit. So just whenever you see those kind of rare transitions, that kind of catches my eye. Plus he tested, you know, well and moved around pretty well. So I think, and Jalen Harrell from Michigan, I think he was the other guy. He didn't run, but he moved around in the on-field drills pretty well. So those were the guys that I kind of had on my list for the edge players. What about you, Chris?
I'm going to go with somebody with one of the bigger names because there were some questions about his athleticism and, you know, all of that stuff. Jared Verse.
Yep.
You know, he came in and he tested phenomenally, you know, even better than I thought he would. I'm a big fan of Jared Verse. He was a guy who I was super, super high on last year when I thought he was coming out. And, you know, he had a good year this season, too. It's just, you know, the gaudiness of some of the sack totals, I think people fall in love with that too much. But when it comes to crunch time, I'm not sure there's a better edge rusher in this class than Jared Verse.
It's a closer.
Exactly. And we see that with Myles Garrett. We see that with TJ Watt. To go on the inside, we see that with Chris Jones. We see that with Aaron Donald. And Jared Verse, I mean, he's one of those dudes who, in crunch time when you need it, he's going to show up and he's going to be there and he's just going to turn into Superman. Now, do I think he's going to be a 15-sack guy? I don't think so. I mean, he could, obviously. But I think he's just a solid pass rusher who brings you that upside of high leverage clutch situations. He's going to be there to answer the bell.
Yeah, I'd make a baseball analogy, but it would show you how long it's been since I've really watched baseball. I was going to say Mariano Rivera, but it shows you how long it's been since I watched baseball. He's a closer. I know that when he's in his prime, he definitely would close that thing out. Kerry, before I get to you, one name I forgot. And I remember I watched this guy before the combine. I watched him early on too. I forget what made me look. My Dane might have said his name or Cedric Johnson from Ole Miss, who tested really well. And I remember watching him and I was like, okay, I can see some stuff here, but I don't know. And then I looked at the way he tested and I was like, okay, I got to go back. I got to go back now because, he had a 9.65 RAS, and he put up some numbers too. I think his jumps were really good. Well, yeah, he jumped 38 inches in broad to 10.2 at 6.3 260 and ran a 4.63. So I was like, I don't know if I quite seen that. I need to go back and double check some things. But Kerry, any of those edge guys stand out for you?
Yeah, I'm going to lean on y'all more so for a lot of these defensive guys for selfish dynasty football reasons. I've been like heavily on the quarterbacks, running backs, receivers. But I mean, Jared Verse, I didn't expect them to test like that. I mean, not to say that you don't see it, but I didn't expect him to blow it up in that way. So that was super impressive. You know, outside of that, I haven't really dug into much of these guys enough to like really bring any substance. I will give you one sleeper. I don't even know if he was at the combine, but Jonah Ellis from Utah.
Yeah.
I like him. I like him a lot. I think he's I'm always looking for these later round dudes that think that you can kind of set on the bench, put on special teams for maybe a year, kind of groom, refine some things, especially with Chuck Smith in the building now. Mm-hmm. And he's a guy with motor for days and a guy that I think, you know, maybe a little bit more undersized than what the Ravens are kind of used to for the edge guys, but a guy that can get up under you in that way. And so he would be a guy later rounds I would be really intrigued on taking a flyer on and seeing if I can turn that motor into something. So definitely a guy to Jonah Ellis be a guy to look out for.
Yeah, he was there and he's got that pedigree. He didn't test, but you know, he did weigh in and he did measure. I assume he met with teams and did medicals. You know, he's probably going to test at his pro day. I'd have to read up on if it was, you know, maybe something injury related or what. I'm not sure. But yeah, he's got that pedigree for sure. You hear that Ellis name, you know that they got some family who have been really good players. Luther Ellis is probably the one that people remember the most.
Yeah. He
was a defensive tackle for a long time. Really good player. So definitely a name to keep an eye on. Anybody else in this edge group? Or are we going to – I mean, linebacker can be real quick if we don't have anybody else on the edge because I don't know that there's a ton there. But, you know, I'm going to have to talk about my boy Peyton Wilson. You already know. So let me just do it right now then. I knew just from watching the tape because I'd seen him a bunch before that he could run fast in a straight line, and he did that. He absolutely ran fast in a straight line. I want to say he ran 4.4, I think, 4.44, something like that.
Yep.
So I knew he could do that. You know, workout was solid too out in the field. I think he's a little tightness because he's a little bit of a linear kind of guy. But if it's a situation where he has the opportunity, he has, you know, keeps himself clean and he can run and chase, he'll chase things down for days. It doesn't matter where you are on the field, he will run and chase you down. So, you know, I got to throw a shout out in there for my guy, Peyton Wilson, keeping with the theme today of white athletes. He's on the head linebacker. Edgerrin Cooper, I think, was another guy, Texas A&M. I'd heard his name a lot as maybe even like the top linebacker, like the guy who might go off first. I hadn't watched him yet, but he had really solid testing numbers. So, you know, no surprise there that he would test that way and would move around that way based on what people I trust were saying about him. The Kentucky kid, Tevin Wallace, he tested really well. He's somebody I need to go back and check because looking at those numbers, I'm like, okay, that's pretty solid. But who do I have? Steel Chambers, Ohio State, Kalen DeLoach, and Curtis Jacobs were guys who I thought looked good in the workouts. Because some of this for me, it's a mix of stuff. When I write, it's either they tested well and they worked out well, or it's either or. They tested well, maybe didn't have a great workout, or they had a good workout. And I tend to write down a lot more of those guys that look good on the on-field drills, even if they didn't have like great testing numbers. Because, you know, just seeing the way that they move around kind of catches my eye. And there was a Darius Masau, or Muasau. I think he might have been UCLA. He kind of caught my eye in his workout too. So I said there wasn't that many linebackers. I guess I just told you about like eight of them. Any linebackers that you guys want to talk about?
No, this was another food run for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I got that one.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So some guys I got to go back and take a look at outside of Wilson and Steel Chambers, who I'd seen a bunch of, but I need to go check those other guys based on how they looked in the drills or how they tested. All right, cornerback, and then we hit safety and we'll be done. I'll start this one out again. Friend, fave of I think a lot of us, certainly in this group, Max Melton. You know, I think Max, you could see the athleticism on tape, right? We've seen him chase down the Ohio State running back who was like a 100-meter champ in high school, so you knew he could run, but he blew the doors off the thing in the 40, and then you see his jumps, and then, you know, had a solid workout as well. Quinyon Mitchell, we talked about him earlier today, just his check boxes all throughout the process, right? His tape, his Senior Bowl, his combine, it's just clean. That's the note that I have down, just clean. You know, everything is clean with him. Tyrion Arnold, you know, he didn't run as fast as maybe people would have liked. I think he was like 4.5 or something like that, but looked good in the drills. And then, you know, anytime you've heard that dude talk this week, you can tell that coaches are going to love him because he's just super confident dude, leader type dude, you know, going to command, you know, people's respect, even as a young dude, you could just feel it, you know? So those were probably the three guys that I had like at the top of my list. And then some of the other guys a little bit farther down were just guys I had not seen at all, but was like, okay, this guy. Oh, well, aside from Mike Samrasteel, I can never get his name right. Samrasteel, I think it's Samrasteel from Michigan. I'd seen him, obviously. Everybody's kind of seen him, but he kind of was as advertised, really good workout, good testing. But some other guys, Marcellus Dial from South Carolina kind of caught my eye. Miles Harden, I think I showed y'all at least one clip, South Dakota kid. MJ Devonshire from Pitt. Who else? Josh Newton from TCU, who I thought looked pretty good in those workouts. Andrew Phillips, which is weird because I've heard other people, I think even Dane said that he thought he had a really good workout. Whereas for me, I was like, the workout didn't blow me away, but he's got a good build. You know, I like his build. I like his frame. He had really good jumps.
With him, I forgot to even tell you guys this. I heard Dane compare him to our guy, Roger McCrary, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was listening to that. Yeah. I heard it. Yeah. I remember hearing that same thing. Yeah.
You know, I'm a big fan of Roger McCrary. So when I hear that, that gets my antennas up for sure. Let's see. Tarheed Steele, the Maryland kid. I actually like the way that he moved around out there. Jerrion Jones from Florida State. Ryan Cooper from Oregon State and DJ James from Auburn. All guys who, for like I said, one reason or another, either good testing or I like the way they moved around in the workout. So some guys that I need to go back and check out. But those top three, four guys, they were kind of the ones that stood out for me. What about you, Chris?
I'm gonna go right off the top and just say Max Melton. The first guy that you mentioned, you know, he's a guy, I saw him in like October or something like that, and I saw him doing his thing on special teams, and I hit up Mike right away. I'm like, you're gonna love this dude. Like, he was all over the place, you know, special teams, following Marvin Harrison Jr. It's like, damn, this dude is all over the place. And you know, competing, like, it's not like he's getting his ass whooped either. Like, he's competing and he's doing his thing, and teams are going away from him. Physical guy, fast, able to process quickly, and just a smart football player. And you know, to me, that's what we want. Like, that's what we want on this defense. Kyle Hamilton, like, yeah, the length is fine, you know, all of those athletic gifts that you have are fine, but smart football players, like, that is what puts some guys over the top for me and what makes me really, really like them. And to me, Max Melton was a guy who just understands the game, you know, in multiple facets, whether it's route recognition, whether it's, you know, getting off of blocks, whether it's being a gunner. Like, he just gets it. He gets the whole entire game of football, not just specializing in, oh, I could cover this guy one-on-one. I could mirror this guy. Not just that, in all facets of the game. And I think those are the kind of guys that the Ravens gravitate towards. Guys who can help in the run game. Guys who can play the ball when it's in the air. Guys who can contribute on special teams. And I think he just embodies that. But at the combine, usually you see those smart guys who can do all of that. They're usually not great athletes. And Max Melton is a really good athlete. And to me, that's what kind of sets him apart and what elevates him. And he's part of that group where, hey, if he's there in the second round, let me get that. I want that. And you know, he put it over the top with his testing, because he, you know, 4.39, 1.51 split, you know, jumped out of the building. Like, yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, when you told me about him and I went to go watch like a couple games, this is before the combine, just the energy and the vibe, I was like, this is Tavon Young. I'm getting that Tavon Young energy, just that bulldog, do whatever needs to be done type of energy, and just a football player. I mean, you could talk about whether Tavon was an inside guy or outside guy, and I know he had the injury, so, you know, we probably didn't get to see everything that he had in him. But when he was healthy, he was just a baller. You know, and that's just the energy that I got from Max Melton, that same type of baller energy. Like, hey, just put me on the field. It don't matter where you line me up at. Just put me on the field. Defense, special teams, it don't even matter. Offense, I don't even know if he ever played. Whatever. Get me on the field, and I'm going to find a way to make something happen. So that was the energy that I got from watching him. So you were like right on when you told me, you're like, you're gonna love this guy. And like, as soon as I watched, I was like, oh yeah, this is one of them ones. What about you, Kerry? Any of those corners jump out to you?
I'm right
there. I know you're in the dynasty streets,
but I'm right there with you guys. Like every year, and I probably should like put it out there, but I go through the draft and like, there's guys that I consider bulletproof, that have very low bust potential. And it's not about who the best guy is, who the Pro Bowler is going to be. It's just looking at all the skills, how they translate. It's guys, I think it's really hard for me to see them fail. And Max Melton is one of those guys that is really, really hard to see him fail. And then you talk about the money that he's made himself with, the testing that that showed up at the combine. And like, usually a dude that plays the game in the way that he plays it, or players of that ilk, they usually don't have like the ability to take the ball away in that way. But then he has that, and then he has the athleticism that If he gets his hands on the ball, he can take it a distance. So to me, he's like one of those dudes, man, like him. I mean, I know this dude's a guy that's high up, but Roma Dunze is another guy. Like, I consider bulletproof in that way because of just the completeness to his game. So, you know, obviously him. And then I know he didn't test or anything, but I would be remiss if I didn't talk about my man, Cooper. Cooper DeJean, as I like to say in the chat, DeJawn. He is an outside corner. Well, I'm not going to lock him in and say he's just an outside corner. I'm saying that if you are not wanting to draft him because you don't think he's an outside corner, you're doing this all wrong. He can play anywhere you want him to play. He can play outside. He can play in the side. You want to play him in, you know, some kind of hybrid safety role. He's an athletic dude, a playmaker, an instinctive dude. And, you know, I've been talking to these guys in the chat about this. Somebody get, if they want to get cute and let him get to 30,
let him get to 30.
He's coming off the board.
Let him get to 30. You know what? If they feel like you just said, they're right. He's not an outside corner.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
He can't do that.
Yeah.
He can't do that. Go ahead and let him fly. Go ahead.
Like, it baffles me. I just don't see, especially. Like, if you had, like, questions about just this crazy high-end change of direction athlete in that kind of way, putting them on an island, like, I can almost see that. But we're talking about a lead that is predominantly a zone lead. And we're talking about a dude that, yeah, he probably wouldn't have come out. He's not going to come out here and run 4-2. But he's super athletic. So, like, I just don't understand the pushback with him as far as being an outside corner. But, you know, again, we're talking about a zone-heavy league. And we're talking about a guy that can make plays on the ball from various different alignments, blitz, play physically, all of these things. So, you know, again, let him get to 30.
Yeah. Bring the white corner back, man. Bring the white corner back. Like the McRib. Right. Bring the McRib back. Bring the white corner back. Were you going to say something, Chris? I know that's your guy. Oh, you're on mute. You mute.
I didn't even notice. Everything Kerry said, you know, I agree with wholeheartedly. That dude is a cornerback. That dude is a playmaker. You know, if you want to use him in the way – similar that the Ravens used Marlowe early on, where they had that luxury of moving him into the slot. That's cool. But this is not a case where, oh, he doesn't have the athleticism to be an outside cornerback. So let's move him into the slot or let's move him to safety. It's not that case at all. Like, this dude is a baller. And, you know, you can make an argument that he was the second best offensive player for Iowa last season. You know, right after Sam Laporta, because the way that he would, you know, take the ball away and not only take it away, have a nose for the end zone. I mean, it's hard to argue that he wasn't one of their best offensive playmakers while on defense. So any guy like that coming into the league who has the knack for taking the ball away and being a big time playmaker, you know, sign me up for that.
Laporta, DeJean, and the punter.
Yep, MVPs.
Those were their guys. All right, these safeties. I'm going to try to go through these pretty quick because I know we've been long, but this is definitely probably going to get broke up into two parts. makes sense, too. Offensive defense is just sort of a natural transition. So I kind of tiered these guys. I spent a little bit of time on the safeties because, again, I think that's kind of a low-key thing Ravens could be looking at with Geno Stone probably getting his bag. Well-deserved, by the way. So I got like the guys that kind of really caught my eye right at the top. Next tier is like the guys that were right there. Not bad. Solid, but like right below those top tier guys. And then everybody else is kind of in that intriguing category. Like, they moved well. They worked out well. I need to go check them out. So that top group, and this was interesting for me because I think I spoke to you guys about this guy, Jaden Hicks, where I kind of off the film, I was like, I don't know. I hear all this good stuff about him from people, especially people I respect. I don't know. Maybe I just haven't watched enough games, and I clearly have not, because he tested really well, and my nose for him for his workout, smooth and clean. Everything looked effortless. So I really do need to go back and double check him. Tyler Newbin, who I liked going into this, I kind of figured I would. A little leaner in his build than I thought it would be, looking at, you know, after seeing him on tape, but that's okay. I mean, I ain't no problem. When you got that kind of ball production, hey, I ain't got no problem with that. And then this guy, just because I had not seen him, but I was like, man, he moved really good and moved around really good in the workout, and he tested well too. I think he played at Missouri. Jalen Carlies or Carlies, C-A-R-L-I-E-S. I'm not sure how you pronounce his last name, but those were kind of the guys in that first tier for me. And then that second group, both of the Georgia dudes, Bullard and Tyke Smith. I love Bullard because he reminds me of Chris Smith. It's like they've had a couple of guys over the last couple of years that seem like the same type of dude, or like they recruited the same type of dude. And then one guy graduates, and the dude who was like a year below him comes in and steps into the role, and he's like the same type of dude, or maybe even a little bit better. So I like both of those guys because I think they're like combo safeties. They can do anything. Both of those guys can do anything that you need them to do. Bullard probably a little bit more. Smith might have a little bit of limitation, but combo type guys for me. Cameron Kitchens, I like Cameron Kitchens a lot. I like him more closer to the line of scrimmage, but I do like him a lot. Ketan Oladapu from Oregon State, big safety, 216. But he was moving around out there pretty well. Josh Proctor, kid from Ohio State, long. Let's see, who else did I have? Oh, these are the intriguing guys. Dadrian Tyler Demerson, Texas Tech guy. He rolled 4.42, but made some nice catches out there in the field work and looked real smooth. Sione Vaki from Utah. Interesting, right? Play running back, but also play safety. So he's got an interesting background. Dominique Hampton with UW. Patrick McMorris, who kind of been around Cal and San Diego State, but he moved around real well. And then Andre Sam, who's got he's really been around. He was an LSU Marshall and started out at McNeese State. He was in McNeese State for what, 18, 19, 20, 20, 4 seasons at McNeese State. So he's one of them 6-year dudes. He did 4 at McSee, 1 year at Marshall, at McNeese, excuse me, 4 years at McNeese. 1 year at Marshall and then 1 year at LSU. So he's kind of been around a little bit. But those were the guys for me at safety. Chris, what about you? Any safeties catch your eye?
Javon Bullard, you know, he's...
Oh, I left out Cole Bishop. My bad. Cole Bishop, Utah. He looked real smooth too.
Bullard, he's been one of my favorites coming into the year. He was more of like a slot corner coming into the year. Then this year they really made an effort to move him over to safety, kind of get him in the mix more, be more of that playmaker. I know a lot of people remember him from when he knocked out Marvin Harrison Jr. last year in the championship game, or was it the playoff game? I don't know. It was New Year's. It was New Year. Okay. Knocked him out, but I mean, that's kind of shows you the type of scrappy player that he is. You know, he isn't one of those 5-star guys who came into Georgia highly touted. I think he was a 3-star dude and, you know, worked his way up. And he's one of the leaders of the team, one of the vocal leaders of the team. And, you know, every team, every secondary needs one of those guys, you know, those Chauncey Gardner-Johnson types where, you know, you can line them up and you know, mix and match, and they can have that physicality, but also bring the intangibles that you need to a room. So I thought he helped himself out a lot. There were some questions about his speed and, you know, 4.47, you know, 1.51 split. I take that all day for a safety.
Mm-hmm. That's what he reminded me so much of Bullard. So much of Christopher Smith. He is Bullard. Everything that you just talked about, I was like, it was that same type of profile. Was not, you know, one of the 5-star dudes coming in, worked, got himself into the lineup, established himself, became a team leader, became a playmaker. I think Bullard probably tested better than Chris Smith did. But that profile, I'm a big fan of that profile for sure. Kerry, any of these safeties jump out to you?
Yeah, I mean, let's just go ahead and complete the set. Another white guy, more athletic than you think, Cole Bishop from Utah.
Oh, man. I was thinking Eric Weddle. I was like, don't do it. That's too big. That's too big. Don't put that on him. Don't put it on him. But he was smooth back there.
We're going to say we're gonna say a more athletic Jim Leonard type.
Okay.
We're gonna do that. We're gonna temper things a little bit.
That's a nice one.
But yeah, I mean, the dude, you know, he's got some closing speed to him, you know, versatile in alignment, physical dude, instinctive dude. You know, he's not the longest, you know, guy, but, you know, we've seen what the Ravens asked their safeties to do and some of the different things they want, that kind of interchangeable approach they want to have. So, a guy like him would be a nice fit because you can use him in a lot of different ways. And one thing I think about that, you know, safety might not be a huge need to the average fan looking at it, but to me, you know, if you lose Geno, and to me, it's more of a, maybe more of a free agent need, because this free agent class, as far as the NFL goes, is stock full of dudes now. So I think you'll be able to get, you know, a pretty good replacement at a probably cheap cost. But we're talking about a draft here. So if we're looking at draft, just getting somebody that keeps Kyle Hamilton able to play the role he played last year, I think he was so good. Like, that's something you just can't put it back in the bottle now. It's out now. We know what it is. It's too impactful. So you need that third safety that you can count on. And I think Bishop could be that guy, you know, even enough range to be able to play some free safety, but also a guy that can play that other role, but then has the physicality to come up in the box and hit somebody. You can blitz with them. Just an interesting dude. So, and, you know, again, I haven't really dug deep into many of these defensive guys, but watching Ellis and then hearing some, you know, some people bring them up on Twitter, you know, I peeped a little bit of Cole Bishop and definitely like what I saw with him.
6'2", 206, ran 4.45, jumped 39 inches in the vert, 10.4 broad, so solid there. Shorter arms, under 30 inches,
right.
29 and three quarters. But, you know, the athletic profile definitely gets your attention. And then, like you say, it could just be one of those guys, you know, right spot in the draft. You never know if as you mentioned, if the Ravens are able to retain Geno and if they don't address safety and free agency, which they might, but you know, this could be one of those guys, you know what I mean? Where right place, right player, might pull the trigger on him somewhere, you know, a little bit later in the draft. So we've reached the end. It's crazy, man. I mean, this was a full combine recap.
It's an old school episode for us.
Old school. This is going back
to the very beginning. Taking it back to the roots.
This is going back to the very beginning. People that's been listening for the beginning, they remember the 2-3 hour episodes. This is taking it back to the OGs. even though, like I said, I'll probably break this up. I'll probably split it into two. So it might be more like, you know, 1 hour and 20 or 1 hour and 15 a piece or whatever. But you got about as thorough a review of the combine as I think, you know, you're going to get on Ravens Twitter for sure. Maybe anywhere. I don't know if anybody out there did a 2-hour review anywhere in the world to come by other than us.
And then we tried to make it quick.
that's a problem with me. If you try and do anything like this quick, do not invite me. Do not include me, because it's not going to happen. That's a problem I got. But it was fun, man. It was good getting back in here, chopping it up with y'all, talking the ball, and going through all these guys in the combine. We got free agency right around the corner coming up next week, I guess, basically, right?
Yep.
13th, yep. Something like that. And then the draft, you know, later in April. So, as always, this stuff always just keeps rolling. It seems like the offseason is going to be long. This time of year, it kind of rolls, and then it does kind of hit a dare period there right before training camp. But, like, this thing just kind of, before you know it, man, you're right back at it again. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how all of this goes. I'm looking forward to free agency, obviously looking forward to the draft, and see what kind of moves the Ravens make. Obviously, they got a lot to do in terms of reconstructing this roster for 2024. But, you know, I think they got the people to do it, and definitely like this class. Definitely a lot of good looking prospects in this draft class at some different positions. So that's going to be fun for sure. But hey, let's get on up out of here, right? We really can't do no more. Literally can't do any more. appreciate y'all. You know, like, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Share, tell a friend, and tell a friend. And we'll get at y'all next time.
Peace.